So our first drug is furosemide, or Lasix. It is a loop diuretic, which means that it works in the loop of Henle. Now, you do know that Monday you've got to sketch a nephron and label all those things? Okay. All right. So it inhibits reabsorption of sodium, so more sodium stays inside the nephron, which draws water in, causing diuresis. We use it for fluid overload, especially for pulmonary edema in CHF. We can use it for regular edema as well. We use it to treat CHF. We use it for hypertension if other diuretics won't work. And it also works when a patient has renal insufficiency. So if a patient has heart failure and renal insufficiency, it'll still work, whereas other types of diuretics will stop working. The adverse effects: hypovolemia, dehydration, obviously. Tachycardia: if you're pulling blood volume down, your body sometimes responds by releasing epinephrine, causing tachycardia. Also, hypokalemia can cause low potassium. Hyponatremia can cause low sodium. And then it has sulfa in it, so it can, patients with sulfa allergies should have caution taking that drug. And it can also cause ototoxicity. So interactions, it interacts basically with any other drug that messes up potassium, or blood pressure drugs, or diuretic drugs, and other ototoxic drugs. What other ototoxic drugs do you know of? One starts with a V. Vancomycin. And then aminoglycosides, like? Give me the name of an aminoglycoside. Like tobramycin or gentamicin. Okay. Nursing actions. You're going to assess urine output and monitor potassium and blood pressure. Hydrochlorothiazide is a thiazide-type diuretic. It inhibits reabsorption of sodium in the distal convoluted tubule, which, again, you'll have to draw for me on Monday and label, causing diuresis. It doesn't cause as much diuresis. It's not as strong a diuretic as loop diuretics like Lasix. It's used for hypertension and also for edema in very mild CHF. But the primary thing is hypertension. Adverse effects: hypovolemia, dehydration again, tachycardia again, hypokalemia again, and hyponatremia. Interacts with other potassium-type drugs, other drugs that affect potassium, other blood pressure drugs, and other diuretics. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Again, assess urine output, potassium, and blood pressure. Also, thiazide-type diuretics are typically given once a day now. You want to give it early in the day. And why would that be? So you don't have to get up in the middle of the night to go pee, because that increases the risk of falls, and it also makes patients cranky or grumpy. That was the word I was thinking of. Lasix is usually given twice a day. You want to try and give that second dose before 4 o'clock for the same reasons. Thiazide diuretics last longer than loop diuretics.
Wait, which one lasts
longer? Say
again?
Thiazide. Also, loop diuretics can be given PO or IV. If you give them IV, they work a heck of a lot faster. All right, switching gears. Our next drug is sertraline, also known as Zoloft. It's a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, also known as SSRI. So what it's going to do is it's going to inhibit neurons from sucking up the serotonin that they released during neurotransmission. So it makes more serotonin available in the synapse. Therapeutic uses are depression, panic disorder, obsessive-compulsive disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, right? And premenstrual dysphoric disorder, formerly known as PMS, and social anxiety.
Did it change
the
name?
Yeah, well, the official name is premenstrual dysphoric disorder now. It doesn't sound as much fun as PMSing, does it? Adverse effects, headache, sexual dysfunction, especially in women, can cause anorgasmia and decreased libido. Weight gain, tremor, insomnia, agitation, nausea and diarrhea, serotonin syndrome, which is really nasty, and you don't need to know that much about it for now, but you will later. And that's within the first 72 hours. And also has a withdrawal syndrome, so don't stop it suddenly.
Can this increase, suicidal thoughts?
In teenagers, possibility. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, antidepressants can increase suicidal ideation in teenagers.
Is that pretty much just in teenagers, but not in adults?
Not so much in adults. What can happen in adults is if they're severely depressed and they want to commit suicide, they don't have enough energy, I'm so down in the dumps, I can't even commit suicide. So you give them an antidepressant, brings them up enough to now they can follow through. Interacts with MAO inhibitors to increase the possibility of serotonin syndrome. Nursing actions. Assess for adverse effects. Educate, especially that it takes 2 weeks before you start noticing the effects of the drug. So the patient will not get better overnight. It takes 2 weeks before the effects really begin. And then increases for another 4 to 6 weeks. Also, do not discontinue suddenly because it can cause the withdrawal syndrome. Next one is lorazepam. Lorazepam is also known as Ativan, and the class is benzodiazepine, also known as benzos. What's that?
Everyone takes
that. Mm-hmm, I'm sure. Yeah. So the way it works is it makes GABA receptors more active. GABA is a neurotransmitter in the brain, and it slows neural activity. So it makes everything slower. We use it for anxiety, insomnia, and various types of seizures or seizure disorders, including alcohol withdrawal to prevent delirium tremens, which is a life-threatening alcohol withdrawal syndrome. Adverse effects, CNS depression, which is going to cause sedation, anterograde amnesia, also known as blacking out. So you take the drug and you don't remember what happens after you took the drug. So it doesn't affect past memories, but it keeps you from forming new memories while you're on it. Not everyone gets it, but some people do. Respiratory depression, so causes slowing of breathing, can be abused because it's addictive, and paradoxical effects in some patients where they get the opposite of all of these things. It makes them agitated, it gives them seizures, it makes them nervous instead of putting them to sleep and causing anxiety to go away. Interacts with other CNS depressants, especially opioids and alcohol. So a combination of benzodiazepines and opioids is what killed Heath Ledger. Nursing actions, assess for side effects, especially. Fall precautions, because patients who are sedated are more likely to fall. Educate about interactions. So they should not be drinking. It's a very popular thing to do is steal your parents' Ativan and then go party with alcohol and other stuff. Monitor respirations if on other CNS depressants. So a lot of times before a patient goes to surgery, they'll be put on Ativan plus an opioid, and you really have to monitor their respirations during that period before they actually go under anesthesia.
So is this a drug that people would be on for long term or not really?
It would most likely be PRN for long term. But, yeah, I mean, some people are on this, you know, every day or every night. But it's usually given PRN. So, all right, next we have promethazine, or Phenergan. It's an antiemetic, and it suppresses dopamine in the chemoreceptor trigger zone of the brain, which is the vomiting center of the brain. It suppresses nausea and vomiting, usually used after surgical procedures. But can also be used in a variety of other places. It can cause, well, there's some evidence to show that there may be birth defects, but it's still approved for use during pregnancy. The risk of birth defects is quite low, but they're not sure if it does or not. Adverse effects, confusion, disorientation, sedation, Anticholinergic effects. What kind of anticholinergic effects would you imagine?
Dry
mouth, dry eyes, constipation, hypotension, especially if it's given IV, and then EPS, which stands for extrapyramidal syndromes, which is a variety of symptoms, including Parkinson's type symptoms, akathisia, which is like an inability to sit still. People will rock or pace. And tardive dyskinesia, which is relatively uncommon because you usually don't give this that long. Tardive dyskinesia usually develops over a long period of time, which is kind of like repetitive dance-like movements, including like lip smacking, like tongue licking. Kind of like Tiffany with her ring. Yeah. Except that these patients don't have a ring to play with. All right, interactions, other CNS depressants and anticholinergics. So if a patient is on something else that's going to make them drowsy, they're going to be even more drowsy. If they're on other anticholinergic drugs, the anticholinergic side effects will be even worse. It can be given IV, IM, or PO. You want to give it deep IM because it can cause tissue necrosis if you give it sub-Q by accident. And it hurts like the dickens. It really hurts. Yeah. To get it IM. If you you want to give it early to prevent vomiting, it's easier to prevent vomiting than stop vomiting. Don't wait for the patient to go, "Nurse, I think I'm gonna be sick." You know, you need to intervene early. And assess for adverse effects. And if you give it IV, you need to push it slowly. The book says give over 10 to 15 minutes. All right, next we have ondansetron, also known as Zofran. It is an antiemetic, and it works by blocking serotonin receptors in the chemoreceptor trigger zone, vomiting center of the brain. Therapeutic uses are prevent nausea and vomiting, especially with chemotherapy. These types of drugs, the serotonin receptor antiemetics, are the best drugs for preventing chemotherapy, nausea, and vomiting. Adverse effects, headache, diarrhea, dizziness. And it's going. The effect of these drugs are going to be enhanced by steroids. The two steroids that would be used to enhance them are methylprednisolone or solumedrol and dexamethasone. Nursing actions: you want to give 30 minutes before chemo. Also, you want to give it before chemo before vomiting occurs. In general, you want to prevent vomiting rather than try and stop vomiting. And assess patient for dehydration, electrolytes if they do vomit. This drug can also be given IV or IM. If a patient is currently vomiting, what's the best to give them for either the Phenergan or the Zofran? IV. Why? Well, it's faster, but why else?
Well, what'd you say,
you,
IV or what?
Or PO. Yeah, because they'll vomit it back up if you give it to them PO. Which reminds me, Phenergan can also be given as a rectal suppository. So that way you can give it to, like, someone at home who's vomiting who can't necessarily put an IV in themselves.
Why would you give it IM?
It will still work faster than PO, and they can't vomit up an IM injection. And if they don't have an IV inserted, you know, it's easier to give them an IM shot than it is to insert an IV, give it to them, and then take the IV back out. Mm-hmm. All right, we're almost done. Metoclopramide, or Reglan, is a prokinetic, which means it is going to speed up the bowels. It has two mechanisms of action. In the brain, it's going to suppress both dopamine and serotonin in the chemo trigger zone, so it will act similar to Phenergan and Zofran together. And it also increases upper GI motility by enhancing acetylcholine in the gut. So therapeutic uses: suppressed post-op nausea and vomiting and other vomiting. And then for diabetic gastroparesis, to speed up the gut in a patient who's got gastroparesis, and also for GERD, because if gastroesophageal reflux, if it's coming back up, but if you speed up the stomach, it's less likely to come back up. Adverse effects: sedation, diarrhea, and extrapyramidal symptoms. The nasty thing about Reglan is that if a patient gets these extrapyramidal symptoms, they can be permanent. Diphenhydramine, better known as Benadryl, can reduce the EPS. Nursing actions, never give to a patient with a GI obstruction or a perforation because you'll make it worse. Think about it for a moment. If you got a stoppage and now you're trying to give a drug that's trying to push through the blockage, it builds up pressure and then pop goes the weasel. All right, next one we have is pantoprazole, also known as Protonix. It is a proton pump inhibitor. It inhibits the proton pump, which is in charge of creating stomach acid. So basically it inhibits stomach acid production in your stomach. We use it for duodenal and gastric ulcers. We use it for GERD. We use it for hypersecretion, which is when you have a disease that causes excess secretion of fluid of gastric acid in the stomach. The most common reason for that is something called Zollinger-Ellison syndrome, which is a cancer of gastric cells that produces gastric acid. Also off-label, and this is probably the most important one for that you're going to see in the hospital, is it's used to reduce aspiration of stomach acid. If you reduce stomach acid, if a person aspirates, they're not going to have acid being going down into their bronchi and lungs, which is going to reduce the incidence of pneumonia. That's short-term use in the hospital. Adverse effects, diarrhea, headache, dizziness, and pneumonia. The reason for pneumonia is if you reduce stomach acid, bacteria begin to live in the stomach. As bacteria live in the stomach, if you do aspirate that, you could get pneumonia. It's very, very tiny, tiny risk, but this is with long-term use. So with short-term use, we use it to reduce pneumonia associated with aspiration of stomach acid, but with long-term use, it can actually cause a slight increase of pneumonia. No interactions that we need to know about, and it can be given PO or IV. Assess the patient for aspiration and symptoms. All right, famotidine, also known as Pepcid, which you can get over the counter. It's an H2 blocker, so it's going to block histamine 2 receptors in the stomach, which is going to reduce acid secretion. So the last drug we looked at was a proton pump inhibitor, or PPI. It reduces acid production. This is going to reduce acid secretion. So it doesn't prevent the stomach from making it, but it prevents it from secreting it into the stomach itself. Therapeutic uses, prevent duodenal ulcers, treat gastric ulcers, GERD, Zollinger-Ellison, which was a cancer that produces, or a tumor that produces stomach acid. And again, off-label use, the most important one you're going to see in the hospital, is to prevent aspiration of stomach acid. Adverse effects are confusion, hallucinations, CNS depression, and again, pneumonia. Those nervous system symptoms are most common in elderly, and they're also most common in IV. So younger patients and patients who get the drug PO very rarely are going to have confusion, hallucinations, and CNS depression. It needs to be given slowly over about 30 minutes if you give it IV. So, all right, I think this is our last one, and we're done. Diphenoxylate and atropine together. It's a combination drug that we call Lamotil. And diphenoxylate is an opioid, and atropine is an anticholinergic. Now, diphenoxylate's kind of special. It doesn't dissolve in water, which means it's almost impossible to abuse it by mainlining it into your veins, because it just won't go into your veins. The reason it's given in combination with atropine is because atropine causes just nasty feeling side effects, so it makes people less likely to abuse it. It's going to slow the GI tract, reducing diarrhea, and the therapeutic uses are for diarrhea, and the adverse effects are constipation, euphoria, and anticholinergic effects. Now, in low doses, diphenoxylate doesn't cause euphoria, but patients will save it up, and then they'll take a whole bunch at once, and they're like, I don't care about the side effects. So it can cause euphoria in larger doses. Most people don't abuse it because of the atropine, because it just makes them feel lousy, all the anticholinergic side effects, but some people don't care and will do it anyway. Hello, veterans. Nursing actions, assess for signs and symptoms of dehydration associated with diarrhea and electrolytes, and also monitor for abuse. And that concludes today's Must Know Drug List.